Good morning, and welcome to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, and I'm glad you joined me this morning as we continue today our study in the book of Genesis, as we are in the early stages of our march through the Old Testament. Right now, our focus is on Joseph, and this morning we're going to be looking at the prisoner's dreams. We'll be picking up in chapter 39 and verse 21 and going through chapter 40 this morning. But before we get into that, I do want to make you aware of a couple of things. And one of those is coming up on January the 28th, this Saturday. And that is a ladies' day at the West Hill Congregation in Corsicana, Texas. And the speaker is going to be Donna Drain, and that will begin at 8:30 at the West Hill Congregation in Corsicana, Texas. Also, coming up right around the corner on February 3rd and 4th will be the annual Make Me a Servant Workshop. This is the fourth annual event, and it will begin Friday evening at February the 3rd at 7 p.m. at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ, located at 708 West Main Street in Mount Vernon, Texas. At 7 p.m. Friday night, the topic will be Light the Fire. This will be primarily toward the youth, but it is for everyone. And the speaker will be Brother Michael Light. And then on Saturday, we'll begin at 10 a.m., with a general session on rekindling the fire for personal study with Speaker Clay Bond. At 11 a.m., we'll have breakout sessions. The men will be with Brother Richard Rutledge for rekindling the fire for leaders. The ladies will have Sister Holly McCormick as their speaker, and it will be Ladies of Hospitality. And then the youth will have Brother Sean Embry as their speaker, rekindling the fire in the furnace. At noon, we will have a stuffed baked potato luncheon. And then at 1 p.m., the men will gather and will spend the next 2 hours in elder case studies, and where we will form mock elderships of men. Some Your group may have an elder, it may have a deacon, it may have someone aspiring to serve one day in a leadership role. It may have a teenage boy in it who is preparing himself to one day serve. It may have a preacher. We'll have interesting groups, and the groups will look at different scenarios and come up with biblical answers, and then they will be sharing their results with the other groups. This is a great training for all men, young or old. Now, also during those times, the ladies will be having breakout sessions at 1 p.m. with Sister Carly Bond speaking on rekindling the fire for sharing the load. And at 2 p.m., Sister Marley Embry, rekindling the fire of encouragement. And then we'll all join together at 3 p.m. for a study in rekindling the fire of personal evangelism with Speaker John McCormick. That is the Make Me a Servant Workshop. This is our fourth annual event at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ. For more information, you can call us at 903-537-4129. And we'll be happy to give you any information that you need regarding that. Also, a special event coming up will be held March 12th through the 19th at the BCS Church of Christ, located at 11914 11914 State Highway 30 in College Station, Texas. And this is a young men's development conference. This is designed for young men ages 18 through 27, for those who are serious about their faith. The theme is Quit Ye Like Men. This is going to begin on Sunday, March the 12th, And it is going to be intense all day study and workshops. And this is going to be just an outstanding effort. Some of the topics include in the mornings through the week, things like basic homiletics, how to put together an effective Bible study or sermon, basic hermeneutics, the importance of the right division of the Scripture, basic Christian apologetics approach in the contemporary setting, exegesis versus esegesis in present-day spiritual warfare, the use of language and Christian rhetoric in defending the faith, basic debate, propositions, syllogisms, and proving all things through mock debates. And so, great training. There will also be studies on building acceptable worship skills, the contours of Bible song leading, how to effectively lead. We need effective song leaders in the church, and here's a great training opportunity. Teach us how to pray, development of edifying prayers. Learning to lay by and store, pleasing God through New Testament giving. And so, the time is filled with topics and subjects like these. Spiritual selection of spouses, only in the Lord. Biblical withdrawal and avoidance, avoiding company. Mentoring activities, discussions on financial management. The biblical sanctity of marriage, a case study on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And so you can see this is something young men will not want to miss. This will conclude and go through the Sunday morning worship. And so, for more information, you can contact Brother Kyle Mangan, one of the deacons of the BCS congregation, at 979-203-0877, or visit www.bcschurchofchrist.com. Okay, that's what we have on our bulletin board this morning. If you have an event in your area that you'd like to have publicized and made known here on the network, let us know about it at office@tgrn.org, and we'll be happy to get that on the air for you. All right, in just a minute, we're going to be turning now our attention to our study this morning. So be turning your Bible now to Genesis chapter 39 and verse 21 as we pick up again, now continuing in Joseph's life as we look at the prisoner's dreams this morning. And as we open our study, the first thing that we notice is that as Joseph is in the prison now, after being cast into prison unjustly, we see that he obtains authority in prison. Verse 21 says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing." I once did a lesson that I entitled, "Life is Just Not Fair." And a good portion of that lesson centered around Joseph, and that is for a good reason. It seemed that everything that could go wrong by man's thinking did go wrong in the case of Joseph. And Joseph did not do things to warrant such bad things to happen to him. But yet again, Joseph found himself in prison for rejecting the sexual advances of his master's wife. And after rejecting her, she charged him falsely of sexually assaulting her. We find that Joseph is now in his late 20s and has not seen his father since he was a teenager. Joseph has been lost from his father, and he spent a good portion of his adult life in prison, and it seems as if there is no hope for his relief. But in verse 21 here, we notice that it said, "But the Lord was with Joseph." Here is the comfort. God's will and purpose would be worked through the life of Joseph. And in fact, any struggles that Joseph endured, he indeed would be rewarded 100 times over. And we need to understand that when we endure suffering and wrongness for the cause of Christ, that we will be rewarded 100 times over. It is worth it to persevere. And we see that the Lord showed Joseph mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. For all the bad things that kept happening to Joseph, he was the recipient of God's mercy each time. God would never leave him alone. This calls to mind the words of the prophet Nahum in chapter 1 and verse 7. "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him." Think about God's providential care. Have you ever heard of a prisoner being placed in charge of the prison? What kind of example had to be set by Joseph to be moved to that level of authority? With the hand of God upon him, Joseph gained a favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Joseph rose, though we do not know how long a time period was involved, but he rose up to a powerful role, just as he had already previously done in the house of Potiphar. And we see the providential hand of God over and over again when we examine the life of Joseph. Perhaps Potiphar appeased his wife, but still really believed in Joseph's goodness. We know that the women of Egypt were not known for their morals by any means. And perhaps Potiphar was well aware of the type of behavior his wife displayed toward him. Whatever the case may be, the hand of God is clearly seen in the events surrounding the life of Joseph. But God still works today providentially in the affairs of men and nations to serve his purposes. In fact, which of us that claim to be a disciple of Jesus Christ our Lord cannot look back over the course of our lives and see how the events in our lives have shaped us and prepared us for what lay ahead of us at different times in life? Even tragedy and misfortune play a role in shaping us. And praise be to God for his providential care, even in our lives today. Now, verse 23 says, "The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper." I worked for a very large entity for many years, and I was given a fair amount of responsibility. And in my work, I did the very best I could in it, and I was very proud of it, and I believe that my managers had a lot of confidence in me. But I never reached the point that Joseph did, for I was still subject to audits and inspections by my managers. But he was so trusted that they did not even audit or inspect his work and doings. Can you imagine that in any corporation today? As a Christian, we should strive to be the very best employee in our secular jobs. We should strive to be the very best citizens of the nation in which we live. And we should do that even if we have not been treated fairly by our own people. For remember the treatment of Joseph. We must seek to be the best that we can in all things, because our King is perfect, and He wants us to be imitators of Him to the very best of our ability. And so now let's move to chapter 40. And now we see Pharaoh's butler and his baker in the next few verses fall out of favor with the king. Now time continues to pass while Joseph is still in prison. And in verse 1 of chapter 40, it came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Two of Pharaoh's closest servants, his butler and baker, commit some type of offense, which is not recorded, that greatly offended the Pharaoh. And in verse 2 and 3, we read that Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. The Egyptian king cast the both of them into prison, where Joseph himself was incarcerated. Now the scripture does not reveal their names, but we know that one was the head cook or baker for Pharaoh, and the other was his butler or cupbearer. These two men held powerful positions, and they were positions in which the king would have great trust in these men in their service to the king. For these men, as his butler and chief baker, would have the ability to poison and kill the king if they desired, since they presided over the food and the drink of the king. There would be the temptation for many men to poison the king and to claim a coup and overtake the government. In some way, these two men, though, had greatly upset the king. They had lost his trust, perhaps through some dereliction of their duty, possibly. And they were cast into the prison with Joseph. Verse 4 says, "And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, so they were in custody for a while." Is this not amazing? For a time, they would now be under the charge of Joseph in the prison. And now, as we move on, we see that these two men, in their imprisonment, would both have dreams that would cause a great anxiety in them, and they would desire to know the meaning of these dreams. And so one night each of them had a dream. But their dreams were different, and they did not understand their meaning. And we see them in verse 5 here now being bothered. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them. Each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came into them in the morning, and looked at them, and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers, who were with him in the custody of his lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" And they said to him, "We each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." So Joseph becomes aware that they are both distraught, and he desires to help them. And he asks the question, "Why do you look so sad?" In verse 7. If Joseph were like most of us, with everything that had happened to him, it would have been time now for everybody to sit down in a circle and have a giant pity party. Doubtless it would have been very easy for Joseph to show them that his pity party could be a lot bigger than theirs. But Joseph asked them about the dreams, and they told Joseph in response to his question that they had had a dream, but neither knew the meaning of their dreams. Notice the reply that they had in verse 8. "We each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." And in the latter part of verse 8, we see Joseph's response back to them. So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." And so Joseph instructs the men to tell him about their dreams. Now this is a very significant point. At this point, it would have been very easy for Joseph to excuse himself from the men and say, "That's too bad," or "That's unfortunate that there's no one to interpret it." Joseph would have had good reason to do that very thing, for remember, Joseph had already been thrown into a pit and imprisoned because of dreams. But Joseph is a good man, and he wants to tell them of their dreams. And so in the next few verses, we see Joseph now interprets the butler's dream. And so the butler begins in verse 9. "Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, 'Behold, in my dream, a vine was before me.'" So here in verse 9, the butler begins to relate the account of his dream to Joseph. And now in the following verses, we see the details of his dream revealed. Verse 10. "And in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded. Its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, And I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. So in his dream, the butler saw a vine that had three branches. The branches grew, and they ripened with grapes. And the butler in his dream was holding Pharaoh's cup, for he was the cupbearer to the Pharaoh. And he pressed the grapes into the cup and gave the cup to Pharaoh. And so, having been told of the dream, Joseph now gives the butler the interpretation of the dream. Verse 12. And Joseph said to him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now, within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler." So Joseph, having been blessed with a gift of interpretation, now relates the meaning of the dream to the anxious and worrisome butler. Joseph says that the three branches represent 3 days, and that in 3 days Pharaoh will restore him to his office as butler or cupbearer to the Pharaoh. Joseph now makes a request of the butler for whom he has just interpreted his dream. Joseph, having done good for the butler, now hopes that the butler will return the favor for him. Verse 14, "But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon." So Joseph pleads with the butler to speak a good word and to vouch for him on his behalf to the Pharaoh. Joseph had done nothing to be imprisoned for, yet here he was stuck in jail. Perhaps a kind word from the butler after his restoration might possibly persuade the Pharaoh to release Joseph also. And so the butler now knows that he will be shortly restored to his former position. And perhaps this emboldened the baker now to want to know about his dream. Since things turned out good for the butler, perhaps now he felt more confident that things would turn out well for him also. And so, beginning in verse 16 now, we see the baker reveals the contents of his dream. Verse 16. "When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, 'I also was in my dream, and there were three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head.'" The baker hears the good news of the interpretation of the butler's dream. And we see his quick response to relate the details of his dream to Joseph. Obviously, he was expecting to hear good news from Joseph, that he would quickly be restored to his position and his prestige as the cook of the king. And so he tells Joseph that in his dream there were three white baskets upon his head. And the top of the basket contained all kinds of baked goods, and they were intended for the Pharaoh. And then the birds came down and ate the baked goods straight out of the basket that was upon his head. And so now, as we come to verse 18, Joseph is now about to relate to him the interpretation of the dream, and the baker is not going to like it. Verse 18. So Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you." Joseph told the baker the interpretation. In 3 days, Pharaoh was going to lift off his head by hanging him to death. And, to make the matters even worse, the birds would then come along and eat the flesh off of him. And next we see that these interpretations would truly come to pass. Verse 20. Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. We see Joseph's interpretation come to pass now after 3 days. In verse 21, then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. The chief butler is restored to his position and resumes his duties. But the chief baker is hung by the neck. Verse 22, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to him. And so he is hung. Now recall that Joseph had earlier asked the chief butler to remember him. Unfortunately, the request of Joseph to the butler to remember him was ignored. And Joseph's request for his help had been quickly forgotten. This would be, once again, another in a series of continuing disappointments for Joseph over the course of his life so far. He would have hoped that this would have led to his release from the unfair imprisonment that he was enduring. Unfortunately for Joseph, nothing happens, and he continues to be confined in the prison as more and more time passes by. Consider the things in which Joseph had persevered his way through in his life already. He had been sold into slavery by his own brothers. His master had rejected him, and his fellow servants had forgotten him. When it seemed that his moment of restoration had come, he had quickly been forgotten by the butler. But yet, through all of these trials, Joseph continues to do what is right in the sight of the Lord. Though, in the earthly sense, it seemingly is getting him absolutely nowhere. But oh, he is being rewarded, and his reward will be great. He did right by the butler, And now the butler is free, and he continues to be imprisoned with no relief in sight. It is easy to follow God when everything is rosy and bright around us. But are we as willing to follow God when we are constantly facing trials like those Joseph faced? Are you willing to praise God when you are suffering from cancer or some heartbreak? Are you willing to praise God when the day comes that you can no longer clothe or feed yourself without help? Are you willing to praise God when your beloved spouse has passed on from this life? Are you willing to praise God when you are persecuted for claiming the name of Jesus Christ? We must understand that we are blessed even in times of trouble. And it is the days just like these for Joseph that makes our faith grow. This is when we become stronger. Now let's think of some of the applications of this series of events in the life of Joseph. And one of the things that I think we most need to see that affects us today is we see that through all of these disappointments, Joseph would not become discouraged. And as Christians, in spite of the things that happen in life, we must never grow discouraged. Discouragement is a breeding ground for sin. Think of how often discouragement eventually becomes sin. When we are discouraged, our thoughts, when left alone, will soon turn to bitterness, to anger. We become depressed. We become resentful, and you can see it just goes on and on. And finally, it comes out as sin. You see, when discouraged, we begin to respond to things that happen in situations in an inappropriate manner, and our actions become more selfish. We need to recognize that discouragement and disappointment are tests of our faith. Instead of letting it produce sin, let us use these times as opportunities to build and to grow our faith. Disappointment and discouragement are just as big an important test of our faith as a sickness or illness or something of like manner. When we give in to the temptation to claim that is unfair and just quit, what then have we accomplished? We need to resist that human temptation to take the attitude that God owes me something better. In fact, what does God owe you anyway? What does he owe me? What did God owe Joseph at this point? When a marriage has crumbled, when that person you married is not the same person that you originally married, does God owe you happiness? When your children have disappointed you, and they've not turned out to be what you had planned for them to be, does God owe you a better spouse, or better children, or better health? You see, we need to not look at these minute details in Joseph's life, but we need to focus on the big picture of Joseph's life. And we need to stop and consider our own lives. take our focus off the tree and look at the forest. Can we trust that God is in control of the big picture? Do you believe the words of the prophet of old that God will take care of and remember his own? God's providence was very active and very alive in the life of Joseph. Can you have enough faith to believe in God's providential care for you? To a man's thinking, all of the disappointments and the seemingly unfair things in Joseph's life could not be God's working in the lives of men for good. But contrary to the thinking of a man, it is exactly that. God works about things to bring good. You see, God is going to be glorified by the life of Joseph. Can you use whatever the circumstances are in your life to glorify God? Joseph may or may not have understood at this point, but he was willing to walk by faith in his God, come whatever may. But isn't that how so many of those great men and women of faith that we read of, how they went about their lives? When we think of those we read about in Hebrews chapter 11. Here is Joseph in prison as a just man, and he is serving the prisoners who are there because of their evil deeds. Joseph is serving his God and glorifying him even from prison. He would not allow discouragement and disappointment to become a license for him to engage in sinful behavior. By yielding to his passion as of the moment. And we also must not allow sin to gain foothold in our lives. We must not react improperly with anger and resentment and such type of emotion when things do not go in our life as we desire. I know that I've been guilty of that. We need to reach a place in our spiritual growth to where instead of questioning God and growing discouraged with various inappropriate emotions, we should consider how that we may glorify God through the rocky places in our lives. Many of us have spent far too much time in our lives saying, "Why me?" rather than praise God. You see, we need to turn the temptation of sin into the opportunity to defeat Satan and bring glory to our God. Can you live the life that glorifies God even through disappointment and discouragement? And can you reflect the goodness and the blessings of God in all situations? It is certainly not easy, but we can do it just as Joseph did. Can you accept that the trials and the tribulations of life can be a blessing that will help us to break our lives from the stranglehold of pride? Can you be strong enough to, at times when necessary, accept the chastening and correction of the Lord? Just as the persecutions forged the bonds of strength in the early church, and just as the ancient Israelites forged the bonds of strength in the days of bondage at the hand of the Egyptians, so also can the tribulations of life forge the strength of the modern Christian. My friend, whatever lot in life God has given you, you have the opportunity to glorify God through it. Who are we to tell God how things should be in life? You might recall that Job began to think inappropriately, and God rebuked righteous Job for that. But consider, as we close this morning, the reaction of Job when he realized how wrong he was in questioning God. Look at with me for just a moment the 42nd chapter of Job, and I'd like to begin in verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. You know, we have much that we can learn from Job, and I'm also reminded that we have much to learn from the bad attitude of Naaman. Recall when Naaman was struck with leprosy, and yet God's plan to cleanse him was too simplistic for his taste. Let us remember that we can always do good for God, and that we can be used to glorify Him, whether young or old, rich or poor, slave or free, or sick or healthy. I think of a man that we have that is a regular listener here on TGRN. He listens every day, though he is struck with debilitating disease. But yet, rather choosing to pity himself, he chooses to glorify God. And he devotes his time and his efforts to the study of God's Word and learning more of it, and he's looking for avenues in which to spread the gospel through ways that he is able to do despite his physical limitations. You see, that is the attitude that we see in our brother Sean that we would do well to emulate. Let us all know that we can serve God and we can glorify Him, and whatever comes at us in life, it may be financial difficulty, it may be health, it may be persecution, but whatever that is, use it to the glory of God. I'm so grateful you joined me this morning. I hope that you also found benefit as we have studied here in Genesis this morning, specifically in the life of Joseph and the account of his unjust imprisonment. Tomorrow, Brother Hendricks and Grota will be picking up in chapter 41 as we continue to examine Joseph and his life. Thank you for joining us again, and if the Lord wills, I'll see you next week at this same time at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. But also remember, this evening this program will be replayed at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. Until next time, this is Chris McElyea saying so long, have a great day, and stay tuned for the programming throughout the day here on the Gospel Radio Network.